May it please the court. My name is Wendy Weigler, registration number 28419. I'm with the law firm of Lansky, Weigler & Porter, and I'm here today on behalf of the appellant, the Prado Condominium Association. The case before the court presents a two-part question. The first part is whether the developer, who is also referred to as the declarant, could, as a matter of law, reserve the right to allocate general common elements that were not previously allocated, to allocate them as limited common elements even after the developer had sold all of its units in the condominium. And the second part of the question is, if the answer to the first part is yes, that the developer could properly reserve such a right, whether in this case the developer properly exercised the reservation under the terms of the declaration and the Colorado Common Interest Ownership Act, which I will refer to as Kiowa. So the first part of the two-part question goes to the reservation of the right, and the second question goes to the exercise of the reservation. The second question is probably the easier question of the two, so I'm going to guess that you probably want to hear more about the first part of the question, the reservation of the right. However, I will suggest to the court that if the court finds that the answer to the second part is no, that the developer did not properly exercise the right, then the answer to question one does not really even need to be decided in this case. So this case is an appeal of a spurious lien petition in which the trial court found that the declaration contained a provision that did allow the developer to allocate general common elements as limited common elements for a period of 7 years without regard to whether the developer owned property within the condominium or not. In other words, the trial court found that the developer could, for a 7-year period, take a general common element parking space and assign it or sell it for profit to a purchaser, to a unit owner, so that unit owner would then have the exclusive use of that parking space. The trial court determined that the provision, which is section 4.7C of the declaration, was a development right under Kiowa. Because the trial court found that to be a valid development right, the deeds in question that were the subject of the petition were found not to be spurious documents. So the trial court's answer, at least to the first part of the question, was yes, 4.7C was a proper reservation of right. The trial court did not fully address the second part of the question, the exercise of the reserved right, except to find in the judgment that nothing in the declaration or Kiowa limited the developer's right to exercise its development rights. In concluding as so, the trial court ignored relevant provisions of Kiowa, including sections 208 subsection 3, 209 subsection 6, and 210 subsection 1, as well as section 4.6 of the declaration. Now, the Prado condominium is completely governed by the Kiowa statute. It was formed post-Kiowa, and when it was formed, the declaration clearly stated it was subject to Kiowa and all of its provisions. So the issues in this case can be answered by looking to the provisions of Kiowa. The two most pertinent provisions of Kiowa to this case are 38-33.3-208(3). Which states that a common element that is not previously allocated as a limited common element may be so allocated pursuant to provisions in the declaration and must be made by amendment to the declaration. The second most pertinent provision of Kiowa applicable to this case is 38-33.3-103 subsection 14, which is the definition of development rights. And it lists the only four development rights that may be reserved in the declaration. Those are adding real estate to a common interest community, creating new units, common elements, and limited common elements, subdividing units or converting units into common elements, or withdrawing real estate from the common interest community. Our first argument is that allocating general common elements as limited common elements is not one of the four development rights allowed under Kiowa. If the court were to so agree, the inquiry may end right there. If it was not a valid development right, as the trial court said it was, then the judgment should be reversed. However, that inquiry is complicated by the fact that the developer in this case allocated general common elements as limited common elements after it had conveyed all of the units that it originally owned in the condominium. Because the general common elements are owned by all of the owners of the condominiums, and that subset of people no longer included the developer at that point, the developer no longer had the ability, as a matter of law, to allocate general common elements as limited common elements. That phrase refers to the right to transfer the exclusive right to use from all of the owners to certain owners.
And yet the declaration seems to indicate, and maybe the statute does also, that there is a period of time after the declarant sells all the units that where the declarant has some reservation rights. So what, if that's the case, what could that refer to then?
Well, if you look at what development rights are as defined in Kiowa, they are rights that the developer has when the developer owns certain property. And they're referring to the right to make the community bigger, take the adjoining lot. If the developer owns two properties adjoining, the developer has the right for a certain number of years to add the adjoining lot into the community. And the other development rights all refer to things the developer could do regarding property the developer owns. But when the developer no longer owns property, and this is why we believe that allocating general common elements is not a development right, because for that reason, that it can be purported to be done when the developer does not own that property.
So you're saying, to the extent that the declaration had this reservation, that it was in contravention of the statute and it couldn't be in there?
That's correct. That provision of the declaration was invalid to the extent that it purported to reserve the right to allocate until the later event of, and if you read that provision carefully, it says until the later event of the conveyance of all units or 7 years. It is a common provision that we see in declarations, but in order for it to be valid under Kiowa, it would have to expire at the earlier event of the conveyance. In this case, the earlier event was the conveyance of all units, because the developer no longer had any interest in the property.
Do you have any case law that would support that position?
There's a recent case that I cited in my reply brief from Georgia that is very, very similar to the facts of this case, and that was Walker versus 90 Fairleigh Condominium Association at 659 Southeast 2nd 412, the Georgia Court of Appeals from 2008. And in that case, and it's interesting, it is a Georgia case, but that case upheld another Georgia case that the Colorado courts relied on in the case of Rossman v. Seasons at TR Arado. So in the recent Georgia case, the Court of Appeals held a developer could not allocate a previously unassigned common element as a limited common element when the developer no longer had control over the association. And even though there was a provision in that declaration that purported to reserve the right, the court found it was inconsistent with the Georgia Condominium Act, which is very similar in these parts to the Kiowa statute.
The parking spaces in this case, were they in fact previously assigned, or were they just out there and unassigned to anybody?
Well, according to the map, all of the parking spaces were general common elements unless they were assigned as limited common elements. What the developer did when he sold units is he would sell parking spaces with the units. And by doing that, those general common elements became appurtenant to the units and they became limited common elements. But the parking spaces that are the subject of this dispute were not assigned or allocated with a unit. They were in separate deeds that went to unit owners in a separate transaction after their purchase of the unit.
So help me out here. Let's say the declarant hadn't done what you're challenging here. So you got a bunch of parking spaces that are just sitting there that aren't assigned to anybody.
What do you do with them?
Yeah.
Well, it's what the association has been doing since the association now has the right under that same provision, 4.7C, that right was transferred to the association to then designate those common elements to owners who would like to purchase them.
But you didn't bring this as a quiet title. You brought this as a spurious lien.
That's correct, because of the fact that we're not talking about title issues, because the ownership of the parking spaces is always in the owners of all the condominiums. They own it. But the issue in this case is the use or the exclusive use of parking spaces.
So is this case really about money? Who gets the money from selling those parking spaces?
It is about money, because what the developer did was after he sold, he developed the property, sold all of his units, but tried to hold on to little pieces and parts in the form of parking spaces and then sell them to owners for his own profit when that was property of all of the owners. So the money to be made from that ought to have gone back into the association.
So if the developer had retained one unit, he could have sold these parking spaces as he did, but the problem is that all the units were sold?
Yes, I think it would have been a different case if the developer had retained even at least one unit, because then the developer, and as seen as in the Rossman versus Seasons case, the developer then had an interest in the community and it wasn't just his own interest. He was a part of the ownership of the common elements at that time. So, as I said, the first part of the question is we believe that that provision of the declaration is invalid to the extent it says the later event rather than the earlier event. And for the second part of the question is that even if it was a valid right to be reserved, the Kiowa statute clearly required that to be done by an amendment to the declaration, which was not done. And in the past, the Colorado Court of Appeals and the Colorado Supreme Court have strictly interpreted the requirements of Kiowa, and in particular, as regard to development rights. We ask the court simply to uphold the unambiguous language of Kiowa that requires an amendment to exercise development rights.
Thank you, counsel. You've got about a minute and 45 seconds for any rebuttal you might want.
Thank you.
Good morning. Jennifer Kroll, registration number 36590. I'm here on behalf of Prado Condominium Corp, 300 West 11th Retail, and Felicia Majorek. Council is correct that this issue is twofold, partly about the reservation of the declarant to reserve rights to itself to allocate common elements as limited common elements, and secondly, whether the developer properly exercised these rights. You hear a lot of references by council that the declarant could not make these allocations after all the units were sold in the condominium. Submit to you that the declarant rights themselves are a property right, although I'll defer to one of my other councils to go more into that argument. But notwithstanding, the declarant did not need to own property in the condominium in order to make these allocations. There's no support for that proposition in this statute. As an initial matter, the common elements are owned by all of the unit owners in common, and that's not changed, whether it's a general common element or whether it's a limited common element, where the common element has been made appurtenant for the use of one or more units. So the fact that the declarant didn't own the common elements is not an issue. The declarant never owned the common elements. So by selling all the units, it's not that any ownership interest was lost in the common elements.
There were three answer briefs here, and there seems to be some inconsistency in the answer briefs about whether the declarant actually had a ownership of a property interest after all the units were sold. What is the position on that?
Right, and that's what I had just referred to. I'm going to sort of defer to my counsel to argue his position on how a declarant right is essentially a property right. You'll see in my answer brief, I focus mostly on, you know, notwithstanding that argument, ownership of a unit is not relevant to whether the declarant had the right to allocate common elements as limited common elements. The declarant here did reserve for itself in the declaration, as you've heard, section 4.7c, for 7 years after the recording of the declaration, the right in itself to allocate common elements as limited common elements. And this was further confirmed in the maps, and you have in your briefs all of the specific references, but essentially the maps which stated that parking spaces are common elements until and unless assigned to become limited common elements. So read in conjunction, there are several places in the declaration, in the maps, which combined form one declaration, which would have put prospective purchasers on notice that these common elements could become limited common elements at the behest of the declarant. I think it's important to focus on that this is a valid development right. Kiowa in section 14B lists as a development right that creating new units, common elements, and limited common elements is a development right. And I submit to you that the only way to create a limited common element is to make a common element appurtenant to a specific unit or more than one unit. So that is the way to create a limited common element, is to make a common element appurtenant to a unit or one or more units. So that was what was done here. They had been general common elements, and the declarant exercised his right to make them appurtenant to units and make them limited common elements.
So, and I apologize, but let me jump ahead a little bit. Let's assume you're right about that.
Okay.
Let's assume we have a properly reserved development right, and it was created the way you just articulated. Take me through your argument in terms of how you would address the what I think is a seemingly statutory requirement for amendment of the declaration if you're going to exercise that right. What was done here to amend the declaration? Exercise that right.
I'm sorry. I think that all of the deeds which made the common elements into limited common elements by making them appurtenant to a unit had been recorded. And I think if you look at the definition of declarations, it does say any recorded instruments. And the declaration itself does reference that the allocation of common elements to create limited common elements can be made by a recorded instrument. So I think in this property, you had a series of documents, and you had the declaration, you had the maps, and you had all of the recorded deeds. You know, as counsel had referenced, that was the way it had been done in this property from day one. The allocation of the parking spaces were made by deed. And I think for the appellant to complain of that would create a problem here where we'd be missing indispensable parties. I think that every homeowner in that condominium would have to be made a party to this case if we were to dispute that the common elements could be turned into limited common elements by grant deed. And I think that you'll see there's testimony in the trial court that the title companies had been essentially ensuring these transactions. They were the ones going through, you know, and checking the declaration and the deeds to make sure that there was no duplication in those limited common elements.
Did the trial court make any ruling on that specific issue?
Don't have the judgment in front of me, but she did state as part of her ruling that the documents weren't spurious because the title companies have insured them. If I just take another minute here, I would think that it's also important to note that the development rights and declarant rights are controlled by Section 205(1)(h) in Kiowa, and it states that there must be a time limit on development rights, but there's not a limit imposed by the statute. If the appellant's argument was correct in that the sale of the last unit essentially cut off these rights, you'd be reading another term into that statute. There would almost be no need for a time limit to be put in the declaration because there would be an implied time limit at the sale of the last unit. Lastly, I think that it should also be contrasted with the declarant control period, which is essentially deals with the transfer of the control of the HOA from the declarant to the homeowners. But it's interesting to note that in that section, the legislature did tie that to the sale of units, that the declarant must give up control of the HOA, and one of the provisions is 60 days after the sale of 75% of the units. So the legislature could have done the same thing if it wanted to tie development rights into the sale of units. I'm going to sort of give my co-counsel some time.
Good morning, Your Honors. John Lobus, appearing on behalf of defendants Clement Whedon and, or Kalinowski, Whedon, and Clement. My registration number is 3648, one of the old ones.
And just take a couple of seconds and tell me how your clients fit into this, who they are in the transactions here.
The three of them are unit owners who obtained parking spaces from the developer after the last unit had been sold by the developer.
Thank you, counsel.
I think the court hit it on the head when you asked, this is about money, isn't it? And the fact that it is about money indicates that the retention of the right to allocate parking spaces and storage spaces is a property right. And based on prior case law, actually in particular the Silver Oak versus Overlook, Silver View versus Overlook case cited in the briefs, you don't have to own a unit to be able to convey. In that case, it was to amend the covenants. But it's the same thing for the declarant to exercise rights. There they owned a lot that had been incorporated into the association governed by the covenants. And the trial court found that the fact that the declarant didn't own any units meant that the declarant didn't have the right to amend the covenants. Court of Appeals reversed, saying, yes, they owned the lot. The lot, undeveloped land, was subject to the covenants, therefore the developer retained the right to issue declarant rights. The same thing is here. Property, as in my brief, doesn't have to be real estate. It doesn't have to be units. It can be anything. And the fact that this court finds that it's money, that this stuff has value, it's property. And the declarant, therefore, retained the right to convey those units, or to convey those parking spaces beyond the time that the last unit was sold.
They didn't have the money before they made the sale. So what did they have before they made the sale?
They had the use of the parking lots as a reserved development right. It's mentioned in the declaration. It's provided for in Kiowa. It was mentioned in the amendments to the declaration that is required, as this court mentioned, by the Kiowa. There was not only one amendment, there were actually two amendments. One right after the declarations were filed in the first place, and then one a year later. So the developer retained these rights and had the right to transfer. There are two provisions in the Kiowa Code that provides that you have to have a time limit to exercise these rights. And in fact, in that Silverview case, the court found that you had to have this time limit. It was essential, and it was defective declarations if it wasn't in there. So what do we have? We have a 7-year time limit in which the declarant can transfer rights that he retains. Those were the parking spaces. I hate to get basic, Your Honors, and I'll be very quick, but it's apples and oranges. You have apples as units, you have oranges as developer rights that have been retained, reserved. Just because you sell all the apples doesn't mean you still don't own the oranges. They're all part of the condominium association, but you still have the right to sell the oranges later. I'm reserving the rest of the time for Mr. Tucker. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Ronald Tucker, registration number 14491. I represent Highland Properties 2907 LLC and Zabel Properties Limited. How they fit in the scheme is that, for the reference, I'll just call them Zabel Properties. They refer to four commercial units in this space, and the Prado condominiums is mostly residential. There's four commercial units on the ground floor, and my clients bought all four units. In that deed that they received from 300 West 11th LLC, one of the other defendants here, they received and paid over $1 million for the units, the commercial units, plus the exclusive right to use 10 parking spaces. And my clients paid for those. At the time, my clients went through their due diligence. They obtained, they looked at the advertising, it referred to parking spaces. They got estoppel letters from the tenants. The tenants were long-term tenants. Matter of fact, two of them were the first-time users of the space and had their lease derived from the condominium developer themselves, a Prado Condominium Corp. They had the uninterrupted use of those parking spaces, which were later conveyed or designated to my client. My client received, upon purchase of the property, received welcome letters from the association stating from the association, our records show you're entitled to the use of these parking spaces, these 10 spaces. My client has been assessed for cleanup of those spaces and other things. And then all of a sudden, there's a claim against my client saying that they really don't have the use of those 10 parking spaces because of various defects in title, mostly the defects in title from condominium, Prado Condominium Corp to 300 West 11th Retail Corp and or LLC. That's outlined in my brief. But for the purpose of the spurious lien statute, which has been brought against my client, there are some issues I'd like to bring up, and especially the issue of estoppel, because my client had every reason to believe they had the exclusive right to use those spaces. They still use those spaces in an uninterrupted basis as of this date. The Condominium Association hasn't tried to oust these commercial tenants from using the spaces they've used in some cases since 2002. So I find it ironic that the Prado Condominium Association claimed that this deed, which gave my clients this exclusive use of these spaces, is somehow a forged document, a groundless document, contained material misrepresentations or misstatements, contained false claims, or were patently invalid. There is a reason that my clients' tenants have used these spaces since 2002. And it maybe something completely different than what the other people are arguing. But at the very least, we haven't been able to conduct any discovery at all to find out the nature of the rights that my clients' tenants have to these parking spaces. All of a sudden, we were served with a petition, and we were in court within 3 weeks or so, and then it was continued for about another month after that. There's been no discovery in this case. And I think the trial court was right in holding on West Star Holdings that, in fact, there is indication that there is a right here. It is not a patently invalid conveyance. The association has in the past recognized my client's tenants' rights to use this, and I think it is wholly inappropriate to bring this action under a spurious lien, spurious document claim without the benefit of any discovery whatsoever or the benefit of having to find out the nature and extent and the source of my client's rights or their tenants' rights to these parking spaces. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Wiggler, you've got about a minute and 45 seconds for any rebuttal.
I'd like to address the apples and oranges, that argument that was raised by counsel. I disagree that this case presents apples and oranges. The case that presented apples and oranges is the case that the respondents relied on in their briefs, and that was Geralt v. Vail Village Inn Associates. In that case, the developer did create oranges. They created parking units that were separate units that were able to be sold in fee simple, the same as residential condominium units could be. And in our case, the developer did that as well, but only four of them. There were only four oranges in our case for the four garage units. So the developer in this case knew that in order to keep, to retain property and retain the right, as Mr. Lobus argued, that needed to be done. The developer needed to create those as units that the developer could own and then sell. And when the developer didn't do that, then the rest of the property rights are inseparable from the condominium units that are owned by all of the owners, and those are the apples. And just finally, the Kiowa defines a declaration as a recorded instrument that creates a common interest community. The deeds referred to by Ms. Kroll do not create a common interest community. Deeds are simply not sufficient to constitute an amendment to a declaration under Kiowa. Thank you for your time.
Thank you to all counsel for your arguments. The case will stand submitted. An opinion will issue in due course. That concludes.